I want you to turn in your Bible with me to Luke chapter 3. So I'm sitting down, we're having a meal there in the fellowship hall with Brother Fred Rottweiss, his wife Mary, and my beloved friend Rito.
Amen.
And Mary looks me right in the eye and she said, "Why are you always around at the weirdest times in my life?" And I'm like, "What are you talking about?" She said, "The day that my husband resigns the church there, you're preaching. You're here when all this foolishness is going on." And then she gave one other instance, and I can't remember what that one was, but I thought, wow, I must be a jinx or something, or I don't know. So I don't know if they're going to schedule me again ever or not, but it was just strange, man. And we had a great meeting there, and even who'd ever thought we'd become televangelists? We all used to preach against that stuff. Amen. And now we have succumbed and gotten sucked right in. So I spent a couple of weeks just preaching to a camera. I cannot tell you how good it is to see people in an auditorium. Amen, really. And I a lot of times would be able to at least get past the camera thing because a lot of the churches that I preach at, I preached there before. So I kind of know who sits where. And so Adrian and I would try to visualize where people were in the auditorium, but they weren't there. And so it's good to have people in the building. And I'm praying that we can put this thing behind us and make up for some lost time. Amen. Amen. I mean, we have lost some time. We really have. I want you to look at Luke chapter number 3, and I want to begin reading in verse number 1. I have really struggled this afternoon with I've had two messages on my heart, and I think both of them would have been appropriate, but I don't want to just get the one appropriate. I want the one that the Lord wants.
Amen.
And this was not my first choice. I'll just be honest with you. I wanted to preach something that I would enjoy a little bit more. But I know this is what the Lord wants. And so look at verse number 1, Luke chapter number 3. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 1. Y'all want to stand, stretch your legs a little bit before we kind of hunker down for just a little while? The Bible said, "Now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip tetrarch of Iturea, and of the region of Tacronitis, and Lysanias the tetrarch of Abilene, Annas and Caiaphas being the high priests, the word of God came unto John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low. The crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God." I'm going to stop right there. I want to make sure that this was on, and it is, so we're good. I want to stop right there, and I want to deal with something tonight. I see something here in these verses that I'll draw your attention to after we pray, but I want to preach on this thought. I want to be like John. I want to be like John. Would you help me pray? Father, we love you, and God, we thank you again for your goodness to us, your kindness to us. Lord, how you have blessed, and God, how you have provided, Lord, during an exceedingly difficult time. Father, we're grateful, Father, for the work that continues to move forward, and God, the light that continues to shine from this church here in this part of the world. And Father, we ask that, God, you would continue to bless the work, and God, continue to add, God, to the church. Father, Lord, we have lost some time. And Lord, I know that, God, these things were things we had no control over. But Father, I, for one, am tired of sitting in my house waiting for things to get better. Lord, there are people that have died in the 10 weeks we've been locked down that died without Christ. Lord, there are people that are living lives of hopelessness, Lord, because they do not know the hope that lies in us. And so, Father, I pray that, Lord, we would endeavor, Lord, to make up some lost time. Father, we would endeavor, God, to carry the gospel to everyone that, God, you place in our path. And, God, even some that we'd have to go out of our path to reach. Father, we love you. God, we thank you, Lord, again for all that you've done for us. Speak to us now from your word. God, we'll make this prayer in Jesus' name. And we'll wrap it in expectation. Amen. You can be seated. It's interesting, ladies and gentlemen, that in the first two verses of this chapter, we find a pretty amazing list of individuals. Seven men are listed whose names carry significant weight and stature both in the political world and the religious world. They're listed in these verses. And I don't know about you, I know that every one of us has got an opinion about how this thing has been handled by people in positions of leadership in our government. I've got a bunch of them. I'm not going to tell you what they are tonight. That's not the point. I do want to say this, that no pastor that's alive right now has ever led a church through what pastors have had to lead churches through the last 10 weeks. And I know people have got opinions and they've got thoughts, but can I just remind you that there was no manual on what to do and how to handle this. I know we can look at some things in Scripture and we can derive some idea, but there is no step-by-step plan on how to safely navigate these things. And ladies and gentlemen, when we find that people in positions of leadership respond to the recommendations of the experts, air quotes, amen, they respond to the recommendations of the experts, and then the recommendation of the experts change from week to week and sometimes from day to day, it's very hard to know what to do. Now, again, I do have some opinions, and I think some measures have been taken that do not make sense. I do think some things have taken place that that far exceed what was necessary. But again, I'm not the one in that position making those decisions. So that being said, it's always been my thought that most of the time when somebody goes into or enters that field of politics, that they enter it because there is something in them that makes them feel like they could make a difference. And first of all, because they all start on the local level. And they get into that because they see some injustice or they see something wrong. And so they feel like they might be able to, Daniel, make a difference. And so they enter that field of politics and then they find some measure of success. And of course, you understand how men are, and I'm not just talking about the male gender, I'm talking about the human race. You know, we always want to do bigger and better and more, and so that leads to going to a broader scale of politics and then maybe to a state level and if possible, maybe to a national level. My fear is that sometime in that process, people become intoxicated with power. Not all of them, but some of them. Amen. I'm not making accusations, I'm making observations. And so I'm looking at these seven men that are listed here, five political leaders, two religious leaders. And the first observation I had was that they probably got into those positions or entered those fields because they had a desire to make a difference. They wanted to improve the conditions of their fellow citizens. They had a desire to help the downtrodden and give hope to the discouraged. These men sit in places of importance and places of opulence and places of abundance. And yet notice with me the last few words of verse 2. The Bible said, the word of God came unto John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. It's interesting to you that God bypassed Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate, Herod, Philip, Lysanias. Those were the political leaders. Never bothered to mess with them. Never bothered to stop by there and influence them. Two religious leaders, Annas and Caiaphas. And God, the Word of God bypassed all them and showed up in the life of somebody who at that point was still very insignificant. And by the way, notice where he was. He wasn't in Madison, although that may be a wilderness, depending on how you define that word. Amen? No, man, he showed up in Dunbar. Listen, I am a city boy. Those of you who have heard me preach before, every country experience I've ever had has been at a Cracker Barrel restaurant. I am a city boy. Amen. I was born in a city. Daniel, I was raised in a city. One of these days, when I die, I'm going to a city. Amen. I'm a city boy. I don't make any apologies for that. But God doesn't come to John, the son of Zechariah, in the city. He doesn't come to him in a large metropolitan area. He doesn't come to him, ladies and gentlemen, in a place where he's got the ability to immediately influence a lot of people. He comes to him in the wilderness. So my question then is, as I'm looking at this text, my question is why? What was it about John? What was it about John, Adrian, that got God's attention, that caused God to bypass all these people that from a human perspective could have had much greater influence in a much more rapid fashion, could have imposed laws and imposed restrictions and imposed regulations? Amen. God could have done all that if he'd have wanted to. But he goes to John. And I got to looking about it. There was something about John that set him apart from all those other men. And by the way, can I say that it wasn't John, but John's God that set him apart from all those other men? I want you to notice verse 1 and 2 quickly. The Bible said, and I've read it all, so I won't read it again. I'm just going to pick up verse 2. Ananias and Caiaphas being high priests, the word of God came unto John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. Let me say, first of all, I believe that John had a testimony. Listen, anybody that's honest would admit that these have been tough weeks. These have not been easy weeks to go through. Listen, I'm not one that likes sitting in my house. First of all, I don't have a house. I've got a motorhome. So I'm not one that likes sitting in my motorhome. I'm usually out busy doing ministry stuff. Amen. Or amen, doing things that I enjoy, or carrying the rib shopping somewhere that where she wants to go. And so I'm usually not just locked in my house. Feel like I've been on house arrest without the tether. Amen. And so I got to look, but the thing that I thought, the overwhelming thought that I had was, listen, during these 9, 10, 11, however many long weeks it's been, I want to make God look good through this whole thing. Amen. Now, that process may differ from person to person. I do know that there are some people that God has chosen to stand up and be a voice. I get that. He hasn't chosen everybody to do that, but I'm thankful for the ones that he has chosen. I'm thankful for the ones that have been willing to endure the trouble and endure the fire and endure the incoming stuff, amen, to stand up for what they believe is right. Again, y'all got to understand this. Nobody has given us a manual. Amen. God did not give us step-by-step instructions in the book of pandemics, amen, to tell us how to do this. And I know we can default run to some verses, but we better make sure we don't pull those verses out of context. It's amazing how we can find verses to support our position. Amen. I have been Romans 13 to death through this whole thing. I happen to like Romans 13. But you do understand that powers have their due. And they do have boundaries. And when they overstep their boundaries, then there's difficulty. And somebody needs to remind them, hey, you've overstepped here. And some men have done that. But the bottom line is, ladies and gentlemen, I want to have a testimony. I want to make my God look good. I'd like for people that have watched me, watched my life, watched how I have approached this thing, to maybe at the end of this thing say, you know, I was scared to death and you weren't. I was panicked and you weren't. I was fearful and you were not. What is the difference between you and me? And I'll be honest with you, Adrian, I can give them an answer. Because I got a hope. Amen. Listen, I know where I'm going when I die. I'm not going to be reckless. I'm not going to walk around licking doorknobs. Not that that's ever a good idea. But the point I'm trying to make is, listen, y'all, the bottom line is we can quarantine and we can use hand sanitizer, which I think's killing us. Personal opinion. I'll give you a personal opinion alert. Amen. Listen, we're supposed to have bacteria on our hands. You're supposed to eat sandwiches with dirty hands. It won't kill you. Ask your kids. Listen, we just today got the notification that one of the dearest saints I have ever known had the privilege to pastor just made the crossing just a few short hours ago. His name was Dave Crutchfield. I won't tell you the long story, but Dave Crutchfield was a plumber. Plumbers don't have pleasant jobs. And I have watched that guy change a toilet seal and eat a ham sandwich. And he's a healthy, I'm telling you, he's the healthiest guy I ever knew. I'm telling you. Amen. You can take all your vitamins and use all your essential oils and amen your, amen. I still haven't found, you know what I haven't concluded about essential oils since I'm on an opinion alert here? I've just concluded that they're very good at making money disappear. Amen. I don't know if they're really good much at anything else. They do smell nice. Amen. But listen, I'm just saying that he's the healthiest guy I ever knew. Lived to be 81 years old, got cancer, and just took him down. But I'm just telling you, God never sick. I got to thinking about that. Listen, I know we're living in weird days. I know people respond differently. I know there are people that you know they're fearful, and I get all that. But at the end of the day, God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And if we are making decisions from the standpoint of fear, we got a really high probability of making a bad decision. I'm not saying don't wear a mask. Amen. Mine looks weird with the beard on. It just got this fringe sticking out the bottom. But and I've worn them. I wear them to make other people feel comfortable. It puts me in an awkward spot when I'm carrying a firearm, though, because then I'm in violation of some federal law. Amen? Amen. And I'm like, okay, so, well, you want the mask or the firearm? Because I'm not giving up the firearm. So, let's just leave the mask out of the picture. Amen? Ms. Van Warmer, okay? Amen. Don't want her shooting my tires out of the car. Amen? But this is the observation. God will always choose a testimony over a title. We get real wound up about titles. Amen? You know, at the end of the day, it's just a name in front of your name. Amen. But you know what? When God is looking, I'm telling you, you check it out, do your own personal study, and you tell me whether God has ever chosen somebody because they had a title. He's looking for somebody who's got a testimony. Amen? I mean, if you look at Moses and Pharaoh, you look at Elijah and Ahab and Jezebel and the prophets of Baal, you look at Mary Magdalene versus Herodias. I mean, God chooses somebody who's got a testimony. And let me say this, your testimony will outlast your title. Amen. One of the things I enjoy doing, I know this is going to sound weird to you, one of the things I enjoy doing if I am in a place and find an old cemetery, sis, I like walking through those old cemeteries. And just reading the things that are on the headstones. And sometimes you'll find in a particular area that there were a great number of people that died in a very short amount of time. And you pretty well can figure that there was some kind of a pestilence or some kind of a sickness or disease that went through there and took a lot of people's lives. But you know what I've noticed on every tombstone? I've noticed on every tombstone that there's a date that person entered the world and there's a date that person exited the world. And everything that person did between those two dates is represented by a dash. I want my dash to mean something. Amen? I want my dash to represent something more than I just, amen, took up space and used oxygen. I want my dash to mean something more than I was just a consumer. Amen? That I just liked this, or please forgive me. I was almost going to ask if Wisconsin had a professional football team, and I thought I had better not do that. So I'd wait until I could do it publicly. But listen, you know, at the end of the day, honestly, and I know people get all wound up about that, but at the end of the day, that don't really make as we would say someplace down south, a hoot and a holler worth a difference. So what's a hoot and a holler? Well, it really doesn't make a difference because it don't go anywhere. I'm just saying, listen, I remember one time years ago when the Baltimore Colts moved out of Baltimore. They had a fan. I remember watching this documentary. Must have been one of those nights I came in really late from work and could not sleep. So I was trying to find something to just numb my mind. And I was watching this documentary of when the Baltimore Colts moved out of Baltimore and went to Indianapolis. They had one fan. I don't remember what his name was, but his nickname was Loudy. He was just a loud, some people would call him obnoxious, but everybody knew in the stadium when Loudy was in attendance. And as that football team, Daniel loaded all their stuff up on an airplane. He stood there and cried and wept like a baby. And I'm not making fun of him, but I thought, my goodness, at the end of the day,
right,
if that's what you have lived for,
right,
and an owner can just arbitrarily move him and that just destroys your world, that's a small life.
Yes.
Amen? Listen, can I just remind y'all that God hasn't got COVID-19?
Amen.
He doesn't even have a bad cough. Amen. He's not sick. We're not going to ever have to worry about getting his death notice. And at the end of the day, ladies and gentlemen, I want my life to represent something that I have done for him. I want something, my life, to represent something that I've accomplished that will live long after I'm gone. I thought a lot today about my friend David Crutchfield and thought about the times at church. Listen, they first started coming. I'll tell you quickly, they had a daughter that was a mess, and she came to our church. She got saved. They lived 85 miles away north of us, and they came down to try to figure out what had changed in their daughter's life. They started coming down a Sunday, and then they'd come down and stay all day Sunday, and then they'd come and start coming on Wednesday night. He owned his own business. And I remember the day he asked me if they could join our church. I mean, Dave was 81 when he died. He would have been in his late 50s then. I'm like, Dave, that's a haul. He said, I know, preacher, but he said, we've never been in a church like this. And I'm not patting myself on the, we had some wonderful years. I'm telling you, if we had a revival meeting, and most of our revival meetings, Brother Adrian went Sunday through Friday, he was there every night. Was one of my song leaders. I had a song leader that just talked too much between songs. And I tried to get him to, amen, you know, wind it down a few thousand RPM, and I just couldn't seem to do it. So I got Dave up there with him, and Dave kept him in his lane, and it worked really well. I had two song leaders every service. You know what I've done a lot? You know what I've done a lot of today, brother? I've done a lot of remembering about him leading singing, about him going to a camp meeting and hearing some people sing about heaven and watching him swing his coat over his head and shout and say, I've never seen anything like this in my life. I remember that you talked about Vacation Bible School, and we did one every year. It was one of my least favorite things to do, but we did it every year, and we did a Patch the Pirate theme. Obedience is the very best way to show the ability. And I was Captain Patch. I mean, that's, you think I'm going to be anything else? And he was King Me First. And I'm telling you, those are some of the greatest memories I've got. I mean, seriously, to stop his business early, drive 85 miles one way, to dress up in a costume, and amen, have 200 kids climb all over you. And I got to thinking, sis, When he entered heaven just a few short hours ago, I wondered what that homecoming looked like. Because I know there's some people there because of Dave Crutchfield.
Amen.
I don't know how many. I'd venture to say there's a whole lot more than maybe some others might have. Well, I got to thinking, man, he had a testimony. Let me give you the second thing quickly, and I got to hurry. Look at verse number 3. The Bible says, and he came into all the country of Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Let me say, secondly, not only did John have a testimony, but secondly, John had a purpose. Amen? John found out what it was that God created him for. And he did that thing with every fiber of his being. So I don't know why God created you. I have no idea what your purpose in life is. I know God created me. I know God gave me this voice, Daniel, for a purpose. I hated it when I was in school. Every time a report card would go home, the teacher would write on the back of the report card. She'd request a parent-teacher conference, and it was the same thing every report card, every grading period. Your son talks too much in class. It wasn't fair because I didn't talk near as much as everybody else. I just had a voice that carried. My sister would tell you that I was not born with an inside voice. And I hated it. And then I got saved at 15. And 2 months later at a youth conference, God dealt with my heart about preaching the gospel. And all of a sudden it became clear to me, preacher, that God gave me this voice for a reason. He gave me that big voice. He gave me that booming voice. That voice that was the bane of my existence. Listen, I did not want to. I was the last one that wanted to get up in front of people and give an oral book report. I was the last one that wanted to get up and do show and tell. Listen, big people have insecurities. Am I right about it, Adrian? Glad I got Adrian in the house. Right? Am I right?
Yes, sir.
Amen. I mean, we'll come in and try to, amen, take things over, but that's just because we're insecure about what people are thinking about us. Amen. Just being honest. I worry about, you know, I've been freaked out about what the brethren are going to think about my hair. I'm like, well, I got the same problem everybody else has got. I can't go to the barber. I'm not doing the YouTube bowl cut, man. I just ain't going to do it. I'm not doing the Mike Weiss cut. I look like a Volkswagen, both doors open. I got these big ears on the side, man. I'm just not going to do it. I'm going to wait till I see the barber. Hopefully I can see him Tuesday. Amen. But listen, we all got stuff we struggle with. We've all got it, and I'll be honest with you, my biggest insecurity to overcome following the call of God on my life was the fact that if I was going to be a preacher, I was going to be in front of people all the time. Amen. And I had to get to the place where I realized it wasn't about me. It was about Him. Amen. God made me the way He made me for a purpose. He had a plan. God didn't make any mistakes. He's never said, uh-oh, one time in His life. Amen. And I'm telling you, John never questioned God's purpose for his life, and he never wavered from fulfilling his purpose. You never find where John got tired of serving God. You never find where he retired. Amen? Let me say number 3 quickly. Look at verse number 4, and we could read all the way down through verse number 17. I won't because of time. The Bible says, as it is written in the book of Esaias the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Not only did John have a testimony and did John have a purpose, but let me say number 3, John had a message. Amen? Listen, I know God has not called everybody in this church to pastor or to be an evangelist, but he has called all of us to preach. Is that okay? Men, women, I don't know about the 47 other genders that we've not heard about since this whole coronavirus thing. Isn't it amazing how that's been quiet? We've heard that it affects men and women differently, but we've not heard how it affects non-binary people. I don't even know what a non-binary person. Amen. All it takes is one good pandemic and all the stupidity goes out the window. Well, not all of it, because they find a way to inject stupidity in the middle of the thing. But the point I'm trying to make is, listen, every one of us has got a message. Listen, your life has a message to preach to the people that you come in contact with. And listen, when this thing begins to open up and we get back out and start, you know, getting back to work and going to the store and, amen, and the ladies can go back to Ross and TJ Maxx, which I figured I'd get 15 amens right there, at least from the women. Thank you. I appreciate that. Because that's my wife's two favorite places. Man, she wants to go to and Marshall's. Ross, TJ Maxx, and Marshall's. Amen. Those are like the big three. And I'm just saying, listen, and when we start eating out of restaurants again, you understand there are going to be people that are going to have questions. They might not ask you, but they've got questions. We eat out a lot. We haven't eaten out, obviously, in the last 10 weeks much. I'll tell you, because of our lifestyle, what we do, we eat out of restaurants often. And I've tried to do this, and I don't always remember. I got to remember, I can't go down there because I don't want anybody freaking out and people running for the building, running out of the building. But I try to remember when the waitress comes to take our order to say, and we're Christians and we're getting ready to pray for our food. Is there anything we can pray for you about? And sometimes that gets yeah, pray for world peace. Okay. Sometimes that's, you know, well, no, I'm good. But every once in a while, man, there's somebody that has just opened up to us. Sometimes there's tears that come. And you got an opportunity to witness to somebody. Amen.
Yep.
And treat them right.
Amen. Yep.
And leave them a good tip.
Yep.
Amen. 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 Yep. Amen. I'm just saying, listen, if you'll look for ways to get the gospel out and to be a testimony and to share that message, do you understand that when you're eating at that table and how you treat that the wait staff or the servers or whatever the politically correct name is, you are preaching a message? Amen? I had to be reminded of that the other day. We were leaving Brother Matt Grohl's. They've got road construction on every major road in Racine and Mount Pleasant. I do not like when there's a sign that says left lane closed, quarter mile ahead. I do not like people roaring down that lane and pulling in front of me just because I got a motorhome. Because I can make that motorhome really wide if I want to. And these two cars come roaring down alongside of me. And I'm going to run this one into the barrels, man. I've had as bad a day as some of y'all have had today. I'm human just like you are. The problem is, I got scripture on the back of that coach. I'm just going to be honest with you, because I don't know how to do this without being honest. So my wife lovingly says, "You gonna let them in?" And I angrily say, "No, I'm not letting them in. They saw the sign I saw." So I'm moving over in their lane now. They're going to eat orange barrels before this is over. And I'm looking at women, looking at their husbands. That's a very incriminating thing right now. Amen. I'm not the only sorry guy in this room right now. I'm grateful for that, because I was feeling really. I thought some of y'all were really spiritual. I'm glad at least I got a guy on the front row that's just as carnal as I am. Amen. Thank you, sir. I appreciate you giving him away. Because he is sitting there like, "I can't believe you'd do that." Until she looked at him and gave him the elbow. And he's like, "Well, no covering that up anymore." Amen. She says, "You got scripture on the back of the coach." I said, "I don't care." And I won. Sort of. Kind of. Amen. I'm just saying, you know, I mean, honestly, so I'm one more car behind. I'm just telling you, we struggle with the same stuff y'all struggle with. We get carnal just like y'all get and get fed up with people, and amen. I don't do dumb stuff well. And I'm just saying. We all need that check every once in a while. And we all need to be reminded. I just wish I didn't have to do it publicly when I'm preaching to people, but that's all right too. Because it'll remind me. I'll have to do this again sometime, and she'll remind me you're going to have another Madison. Amen. I appreciate that. I'm not throwing down on her. I guess the term is throwing shade on her. That's the right term, right? Amen. Amen. But listen, look at verse number 7 quickly. It says, "Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, Oh, generation of vipers. Boy, that's kind, isn't it? Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Thinking, wow, that's ministerial language, pastoral wording. No, you know what? His message met people right where they were. You know what this world's looking for? They're looking for reality. They're looking for honesty. Listen, they're not looking for boys in a pulpit. They're not looking for effeminate men in the pulpit. Amen. I can say that here. Amen. They're looking. Listen, I'll be honest with you. That's why I think a lot of times we don't have men in the pews is because we don't have men in the pulpit. Or we're scared to death what's going to be, you know, what's going to be deemed as politically incorrect speech. Amen. That probably wasn't very politically correct, call them a generation of vipers. Probably was not the acceptable language of the day. Probably would have said, you guys are just not acting very nice. I don't have that in me. Amen. I got to work that up, but then it scares me that I can even do that, but amen. Look at verse 16 quickly. John answered and said unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. His message pointed people to Christ. Amen. Listen, I'll be honest with you. What this world needs to see in these days is God's people full of God's power, amen, kindled with God's fire, pointing people to God's Son. That's what this world needs to see. And then look at verse 18 and 19, and I'm done. Many other things in his exhortation preach he unto the people. Herod the Tetrarch being reproved by him for Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, for all his evil deeds which he had done, added yet above this all that he shut up John in prison. John had an unwavering commitment. Okay, so he put him in prison. Doesn't stop the message. Amen. His commitment didn't waver under criticism. It didn't waver under religious pressure. It didn't waver under governmental pressure. Listen, I understand we're supposed to be good citizens. I get all that. But if you'll turn with me one more place to Matthew chapter number 11. Matthew chapter number 11. I want to show you one verse. You got a red letter King James Bible. You'll find verse number 11 is written in red. This is Jesus speaking. This is his assessment. It says, verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. That's pretty high. That's a pretty high compliment, isn't it? That's not some political leader or some governmental leader talking. That's your Savior. I want to be like John. Amen? I want to have the courage to stand. I want to have the kindness when I need it. Amen? And when I don't, I want to be man enough to be honest and say I was a jerk. And I didn't let that person in, and I should have, and would have saved me embarrassing myself in front of y'all, but maybe I did it because some of y'all need to know that we're human too. And we have bad days too, and amen? We're just like you. We're cut out of the same cloth. Things get under our skin. I know we're not supposed to be that way, but that's just reality. Amen? And I like what a friend of mine said. The fact that God would use any of us is a pretty good indication he's hard up for good help. Amen. So let me ask you a question tonight. Sis, would you come to the piano and play a hymn of invitation? I'm going to ask you tonight, as you bow your head and close your eyes, who do you need to talk to concerning the gospel, concerning their place in eternity? Who is it that you've put off, that you have just said, well, I'll do it later, and later hasn't come yet? I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand if you're here tonight and you'd say, Brother Phil, God's dealt with my heart about somebody I need to talk to, somebody I need to share the gospel with. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand up? Let me see it tonight. There's hands all over the room. Preacher, I don't know what you want to do. If you want to give an invitation, proper one, have folks come. Okay? Let's stand tonight. Let's just let God deal with our hearts. You want to be like John? I do. Father, bless the invitation and help us to respond as you've dealt with us. Lord, forgive us where we've been stupid. Forgive us where we've let our flesh get the best of us. God, where we have yielded to temptation. Father, I pray that God, you'd help us to be a testimony. Help us to deliver the message that God, you want us to deliver to those that you placed in our lives. Help us to make up for the lost time of these last 10 weeks. Help us to get really serious about sharing the gospel. God, getting the gospel to a lost and dying world. Now, I'd be remiss tonight if I did not ask this question. Just because you're here on a Wednesday night is no guarantee that you yourself are going to heaven. And I wonder if there might be somebody that'd say, Brother Phil, I'm not sure about that. I've been troubled about that even during this service. I'd like to ask you to pray for me. Listen, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to send somebody to where you're seated. I'm not going to send the social workers to your home. I just want to know God spoke to your heart so I might be able to pray for you. If that's you tonight, you're not sure you're saved. You'd say, Preacher, pray for me. Would you just slip your hand up and let me see it? Anybody at all?